Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Jim. Doing pretty good. How about yourself, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Andy. We've got lots of news in the Penn State football world, the college football world. We'll hit as much of it as we can, but I wanted to start with the biggest news for Penn State football this week. The Board of Trustees voted to spend $700 million on a renovation of Beaver Stadium. Your initial reaction?
So, thinking of this from outside the, oh my gosh, they're just spending money, and it's $700 million, which I kind of have a hard time wrapping my head around. But so I think back to like a little bit before COVID and through COVID and now, you know, post-COVID at Penn State. Have a good person I met through Uplifting Athletes, co-worker, now a really good friend. And he lives in State College, and I go up there quite a bit and visit him because we enjoy spending time together. And we walk around campus a lot because we walk everywhere from his house because it's close to campus. For the past 3 years, Jimmy, the entire campus seems like a construction zone at times. Not literally, but everywhere I'm walking around there, we're walking up Allen Street and then walking up Park Avenue to Allen through campus. This is being done. This is being rebuilt. These dorms, I lived in these dorms, and they're taking them down and building new dorms, right? Like, there's a lot of facelift and innovation and structural rebuilding of the Penn State campus. Why not the football stadium, Jim? For at least a decade and a half, that place looked, and it's only becoming worse with each passing, you know, 4 or 5 years. It's a dinosaur. It doesn't fit today's standard. And if there's plenty of other stuff that is being funded and paid for on campus, if nothing was being done and then out of the blue you've got $700 million for the stadium, maybe you look at it a little differently. But to me, from my perspective and the way I think it should be looked at for naysayers, is it's just part of what's going on up there right now on that campus. And it is not just one building here and the odd building there. It's 2, 3, 4 projects at once, Jimmy. And then, you know, and then, oh, well, they kind of finished this one. They're almost done, so that now they're starting this one. It's that kind of stuff for the last 3, 4 years. So from the way I see it, this is a need, maybe a little bit of a want, but this stadium needs renovated to stay where it's at. And it fits what's going on at Penn State to my eyes and the way I see it.
Andy, I'll take a look at it in a little different way. I don't think you could set aside, gee, other than $700 million, well, $700 million is the point. Yeah. And already, you know, there's debt that the university holds. The fact that they're doing other construction work that I hope is necessary is not a reason to do this construction. It might even be a reason not to do this construction if you're spending money elsewhere. Now, I think what happens, and if you see the presentation, and by the way, I'll just remind folks, we are going to have a Board of Trustee member, Barry Fenchek, on the show. You could go to our KeystoneSportsNetwork.com website. By the time you hear this show with Andy, that will be posted. If you're in State College, it's coming up next after we're done. And we get into it more. And Barry was one of those who voted against it. And some of it, Andy, like, they put out some slides that said this will be a net profit from doing these renovations. They're counting on a lot of increased revenue from doing this. I'm not sure I see that increased revenue. So I think there's a lot more questions. And again, we'll be talking to Barry about this, but Andy, another part of this that concerns me is the university comes to the board with the plan and says, here it is. What do you think? And they vote yes. And I'm not sure the due diligence is done. Is this the best solution? Did they look at every solution? And I'm not sure. And like I said, we're going to be talking to Barry about it.
Yeah.
As a fan, you know, there are some of the things I'm going to love, but I find it difficult to imagine there'll be that much increased revenue when you've already got a situation where things are now, Andy, over 100,000 people show up for those games, okay?
Right.
Now, I understand if it's a question of safety, you know, making sure, and also winterizing the stadium so it's able to be used if they need to host a playoff game in December. I get that, but that's being done with the initial $70 million project. So I'm not sure what they're going to gain from the $700 million, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, $700, I think it is. I'm not a naysayer, and I don't pay attention or care really about the inside, you know, sort of inside ballpark about that. But $700 million is a lot of money. I think it's very ambitious to think we're going to make money, especially in a short-term scenario, off of this. But I will point out, man, that this football program is a cash cow, Jimmy. It is a monster of a brand and a monster of a college football program inside an industry that continues to grow, escalate, and become more and more and more valuable. So I think that I'll point out the yin to the yang of your side, but I do, from an overall brand perspective, I like it. I like it a lot. I don't know that you need to spend $700 million.
And that's my question is, you know, will it translate into those dollars that they're saying? I don't know. I'm not sure about that, Andy. We all like the nice, you know, game experience, and will it be better, you know, better concession stands, better restrooms and all that, better flow with the concourse, those kind of things. Yes, you know, they're nice, but Penn State isn't exactly flush with money in a couple different ways, Andy. In comparison to some other schools, as far as how much they're bringing in from alumni donorship, you know,
right.
Penn State has an issue with that, getting the money. People talk about NIL and where that Penn State is behind on NIL. Well, it falls under the same category where, you know, whether the Joe Paterno thing has left some people bitter and they're not giving money until Joe gets honored properly. That's their, you know, the one perspective there. So you've lost people that way. And I think from the whole, you know, scandal from a dozen years ago, they haven't fully recovered from that, Andy. So there isn't necessarily the money coming in. And the other point to this is tuition keeps going up.
Yep.
They're getting less and less money from the state. All of those things are combining to not put them in necessarily the best financial position. And like I said, they keep getting 100,000 people there the way the stadium is now. So do they need to really change that to draw more fans and increase revenue?
They're going to get an increase in revenue. I don't know how much it looks like in all the numbers game, but I just want to point out one thing. Ultimately, Jim, it's going to be Joe and Jane Q Public and the family and the however many thousand, you know, whatever the fans are, they build something that's worthy of a next level experience. Guess what is going to cost more to get into the game? So ultimately on the trickle down from all of this at the bottom, but they're going to feed it on the way up. It's the fans that are going to end up paying a little bit of the freight on this, because that better product is going to be more worthy of a higher price point. That's what it is. They're not building it to fleece the fans, but part of this, or redoing it to fleece a fan per se, but part of that, the scenario has to be, if we build something that's next level, it has to be accordingly paid for at the next level. And fans have to understand that. They're going to be asked to pay more. And that's a choice the fan get to make. Do they show up 100,000 or does it go down to 70 because they're not willing to pay it?
Well, my question is, you said they have the decision whether to continue going to the games or not. That's true. They do. But are you taking the one option away from the fans, which is a cost-effective ticket to go in the door? If you're that standard fan, if you're one of the, not the, elite few thousand who are going to be in the luxury seats, but the rest, the other 98,000 fans, if you said, hey, look, we'll give you, better flow through the concourse, we'll give you more food options, but you're going to have to pay more. Are they going to say yes or no to that?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question in my book. I will say this, Jimmy.
Did they ask, though? Did they do the work? Did they poll the fans to get an answer from them on that question?
I don't think you would. You just understand what your product's going to be worth and who's going to pay for it, right? It's a sticky one for me because I generally feel like in both sides, like, is it worth it? Is it, you have to look at it as a value proposition. But my other thought is, having been there each of the last three seasons for a game in the stands on different levels and at different places, and in a lot of ways, is it okay? Is it get the job done? Yeah. Is it cool to be there with what the fans bring to the table? Yeah, this will be my last point. Yes, it is very cool to feel that energy inside there. But as a fan in 2023 and 2024, it's not a great place to go watch a game.
All right, Andy, that will be the last word on that. We've got lots more to go. Stick around in quarter number two. We've got some other information to go over. Stick with us.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking all things Penn State football. We spent quarter number one talking about the renovations going on to the stadium. And just as a reminder, we got lots more on the renovation with Barry Fenchek, member of the Board of Trustees. Head to our website, go to the app, wherever you get the Keystone Kickoff Show, you'll hear my interview with Barry. Very educational, a lot there. All right, Andy, speaking of education, I sent this on to you, an article about some of the Big Ten football conference schedule is complicated, okay? You now have not just Fox, but you also have NBC, you have CBS involved, and it leads to the question fans have always prior to the season. When are our games going to be on? When will they be televised, and what network will they be on? Now, we've always known that Fox has the prime portion of the contract, so they get first dibs. But I'm not sure I've ever really understood how it went, the selection process. I knew there was something of a draft, and now there was a Fox executive on a show. I think it was with Joel Klatt, but I'm not sure. And some of the information that came out of it I thought was very good, and it taught me a few things. The first thing, Andy, is that Fox actually gets the first three picks this year.
Correct.
And they're not just picking games. What they're actually doing is picking weeks. And when they pick a week, it's pretty obvious when they pick the day November 30th, the last weekend of the season, they're picking out Ohio State and Michigan.
Correct.
And I think, you know, that gets – it's not understood. Now, because of that, sometimes, though, they pick the week and they'll announce the game. But there was an interesting situation here where Fox had the first three picks, and the first two games that they picked were November 30th, which is Ohio State, Michigan.
Correct.
And then September 7th, which is Michigan versus Texas, which is a great game for early in the season. Two huge names. Can't complain about them picking those games. Then the logic is they ran into, they use the word conundrum, with the number three pick. And one of their choices was October 12th, where Ohio State goes out to the West Coast to play Oregon. And they had the option to take that game, Andy. But, and I'm not sure if it's because it's a West Coast team, they wouldn't be able to put it at their, or if it's because of conflict with the World Series at that point, but they can't put the game on at their big noon game.
Correct. 9 a.m. West Coast.
9 a.m. West Coast. However, CBS and NBC, they're putting their Big Ten games in late afternoon and evening slots.
Correct.
So they could take that game very easily. So Fox decided to trade that week away and get the week of November 2nd, where, lo and behold, Penn State plays Ohio State, Andy.
Well, they traded November 2nd, I think, because Ohio State does play Penn State. And for Penn State fans, they're like, oh, man, we want that game to be at night, right? Like, you want Ohio State, Penn State to play at night and to be a whiteout, because that's just one of the, you know, top two scenes in college football ever that I can think of. But also
Stop 1 second there, Andy. One of the top two scenes, what's the other one?
From my personal experience, the Florida-Georgia game is, now competitive wise it might not be great these days, but the greatest cocktail party, Florida and Georgia, it's football and atmosphere at another level, in my opinion. And I would put the whiteout as a 1A, right?
Well, or you're allowed your opinion, Andy, no matter how wrong it is, but you're allowed it.
Correct. It is my opinion. But I mean, they So they, I don't know if it, they said it was a huge debate because it's Oregon and Ohio State, right? Like two of the top five teams in the country, two of the, clearly the top two teams heading into the season as you look at the, as you look at the Big Ten for the most part. But the game's in Oregon. I think if the game's in Ohio State, it's even more of a conundrum for Fox because then they can put that game on at noon. But the game's in Oregon, so you've got the 9 a.m. start on the West Coast, and you, it meant that their noon slot wasn't available, their preferred slot. So they traded down and gave traded the pick to get a second option, which obviously one of them is Ohio State, Penn State, but also that weekend is Oregon, Michigan. So they, depending on how it plays out, and you're into November now, so you've had, you know, September and October, and things are starting to take shape. They opened up options for themselves as the great Herb Brooks, the coach of the 1980 United States Miracle on Ice Olympic team, used to say, we're opening up options when they play the Russians. We're trying to open up options. I think Fox opened itself up to options while giving away a huge game, but a game that they couldn't put in their preferred time slot. So it was a great insight to see this and see how it's literally like the NFL draft. We'll trade you our third pick for your, you know, whatever pick it is, and you can have Oregon and Ohio State and another network built. Bit. We don't know who it is because nobody, they all the other networks haven't announced yet, but I'm guessing it was probably NBC to get that game at night and make it a 4 o'clock start on the West Coast, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. That would be preferable, but either way, it doesn't matter. If it's CBS, it'll go at the 3:30 spot on CBS. Either way, somebody else wanted it, and the and Fox got themselves a 2-for-1 deal.
And you know what, Andy? Here's one, a couple takeaways from this. First of all, it's great to get this insight into how they do it, okay? And Fox literally getting the first three picks. Here's the other part that really wasn't the emphasis of this interview. But I'll give this as a takeaway. How good is that Oregon-Ohio State matchup, okay? And that only happened because of the Big Ten bringing in those Pac-12 teams. Yep. You've got that phenomenal matchup. Now, I'm not going to guess the which network took it, CBS. Because CBS can put that on at 4:30 also, just right, like NBC can put it on in the evening. But either way, that's a must-see game.
It's must-see.
Then, to get a situation with the November 2nd date, where it's Penn State, Ohio State, and actually having the possibility of saying, you know what? As great as Penn State, Ohio State is, there's actually another game, which is Oregon, Michigan, that at that time might be the better game. And, you know, you could see that happening. Oregon beats Ohio State, especially at home. Very possible. That could be undefeated Oregon, undefeated Michigan. And is it possible Penn State and Ohio State each have a loss, where all of a sudden Oregon, Michigan in November, both undefeated, both big names, both blue bloods, and you're able to put them on? What gets lost in the shuffle, Andy, is just how many good games there now are in the Big Ten because of that bringing in Oregon and Washington and USC.
It's two power conferences this year, Jimmy. We've moved, right? Like it's four conferences, but it's really it's the Big Ten and the SEC, and then there is a gap, and then there's the next two. It's just so clear, even though some of the Pac-12 coming in is taking a step back in this first year in the Big Ten, there is so much marquee in those two conferences that literally by osmosis and the number of big games and the amount of coverage those games are going to get, they're just going to take over the college football narrative pretty much, Jimmy. Don't you? I look at the preseason narrative already. I mean, what Big 12 game or what ACC game has been talked about at all preseason-wise?
Final one.
Nothing.
And Andy, you know I am specifically a Penn State football fan, but you are the more generic college football fan.
Right.
But I still look at it like you're bringing Texas and Oklahoma into the Southeast Conference. And I might, you know, intellectually have an issue with the Pac-12 going away, unfortunately.
Correct.
The Big 12 getting, you know, just robbed of Texas and Oklahoma, their two biggest names, and how that's wrong and unfair. Forget fair. Just forget fair. I'm going to look out for me, Andy, as a fan. Anytime you could get either Texas or Oklahoma against a team like Georgia or Alabama or LSU or Ole Miss or Missouri or Tennessee, that's a big game. Same thing, Oregon or USC versus Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. Those are huge games that we would not have otherwise gotten, Andy.
So the biggest difference right now, Jimmy, and this is a big difference, right? Before, as a college football fan, you as a Penn State fan or whoever you're, you know, in terms of those matchups, you had to hope that there was some kind of agreement and something was reached that they would play just once, right? Like one year you would get maybe one of those type games where both schools would agree to play each other, right? Now they happen as a matter of cause. They have to play each other. We get them for free. We didn't have to sit there and hope and wish that Ohio State would play Oregon. Man, I'd love if Ohio State and Oregon could figure it out and play each other, which they have recently. We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to hope and wait. They come to us just as a matter of cause, and that is the sort of the hidden strength of the two power conferences is these games happen, multiple of them sometimes, in great weeks, but you're going to have a hard time not finding a marquee matchup, neither the SEC or Big Ten, from week to week. You're going to have a hard time finding one that isn't marquee.
And you know what, Andy? In all of these situations, the conferences, the schools, they all look out for number one. Here's something. I'm looking out for number one myself as a fan. I like these matchups. All right, that's it for quarter two. Quarter three, stick around. We take your questions and ask Andy.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions, and we ask Andy. If you want to send in a question for Andy, very simple. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. That's it. Just search on Keystone Sports. You'll get our app. You'll be able to send a question in, and Andy will answer it for you. All right. Let's start with Pat from Connecticut, who says, with the approval of the stadium renovations, I saw the renovations will span the next three off seasons. My question is, how will the blue and white game be affected by these renovations? Will the game be canceled, moved to a new location, or played with construction ongoing?
I would think construction ongoing, that'll be part of the plan, is like, you will have deadlines and 5-day to 10-day shutdowns that center around making at least part of it plausible to hold some kind of practice in there for the fans. That's just my gut reaction, is you have to plan for that.
Yeah, Andy, yeah, I don't think that there's any question that they will do that. And, you know, they're trying to set this up so that during the season – there will be very little to no interruption or loss of seating. I'm sure there'll be a little bit at least. But for the blue-white game, remember, they typically get, you know, tops like 70,000, 75,000. That allows them, if need be, to close off a section of for 30,000 fans, okay? Right. They could shut down 30,000 seats and still be able to handle blue-white. If there's something ongoing, I could see them, you know, kind of fencing it off, restricting areas if need be to make it happen. But I don't think there's any way in the world that they would move it anywhere or cancel it, Andy.
It feels like an inside-out construction, doesn't it, Jimmy? You have to get a certain amount done during the first 3 months or 3.5 months of the offseason inside, and then you can work on the rest of the year until the season starts. You can work on the outside. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it has to be an inside out instead of an outside in reconstruction.
I don't think that there's any question that they make it. Okay. Here's another question I think I might have to explain a little bit. Matt from Massachusetts says, Jim and Andy, a question following Jim's discussion with Landon. It's day one after the NCAA ceases to exist. What would happen? Well, let me explain the context of that question, Andy. Landon and I were having a discussion about where is college football heading, and it might be heading somewhere conceivably without the NCAA. You know, will the conferences take over? Will they separate from the NCAA? I think Matt is asking the question a little bit backwards. I don't think it's a case where the NCAA goes away and then we figure out what happens. I think something happens which will cause the NCAA to go away. The only place where the NCAA would go away is if they mishandle this lawsuit, don't come to the settlement. And I think that settlement's going to happen. It may even happen by the time folks hear this show, Andy, is the NCAA as an option may have to declare bankruptcy. I don't think that will happen. So that's the context of the question.
So my answer is I like Matt's question is interesting because I still think a lot of maybe a good number of college football fans think the NCAA is like a player in when it comes to college football. I've always, and even more so now, view the NCAA as, well, they were just a passenger in the front seat, but now I think they're a passenger in the back seat. And I think it's a matter of when the college football conferences mainly the two power conferences who look like they're even taking bigger and stronger steps towards merging themselves and being in lockstep together as separate entities. They just simply open the back door and tell the passenger in the back seat, you can go ahead and leave now. Right? That's the way I feel it. Basketball's different, right? The NCAA owns, runs, you know, there's a lot more. It, college football is run by the conferences. End of story. Owned by the conferences. Negotiates as a conference, right? Like the NCAA was, they used to be a front seat passenger. Now they're in the back seat. And it's just a matter of when is college football going to say, thank you, go ahead, backseat passenger, you can go ahead and go now.
And I think, Andy, for folks to understand how this came about, many years ago, and young folks won't remember this time, I do remember it, when there was like one college football game on a week, it would be a great week if they actually showed two games, you know. We'd hope Penn State would be on once during the season on national TV, and you'd have to be left with highlights. Then a school, I think it may have been Oklahoma, not sure, but somebody said, hey, wait a minute, we want our own television rights. They sued for that. But the end result of it was not that individual schools were getting their television rights. The conferences were. Yep. They were creating that. So it's the Big Ten negotiating with Fox, not the NCAA.
Correct.
And the same thing with the Southeast Conference. They are negotiating the television contracts. That's the money. That's the source of revenue. So whoever controls that controls the money. Power. They control. Yeah, that is the power. And it's why, you know, when the Big Ten brought in those teams from the West Coast, Andy, it wasn't just, wow, wouldn't it, like we talked about in the prior segment, I love Oregon playing Ohio State, playing Michigan. Well, guess what? That was irrelevant. Had nothing to do with it. What had to do is, would Fox pay more money if those teams came into the conference?
Look at the dissolvement of the Pac-12. The NCAA had, as a sporting conference, the NCAA had no say. They had no say in that. Like they had to not like it, right? As a competitive, equal landscape. But guess what? They don't have enough power to have a say in that. And it just dissolved. Boom, it was gone. Now, it was revenue-centered. We know that. Everybody knows that. They didn't have a television contract. So they went where there was a television contract. That's how it dissolved. And they were powerless to prevent any of it from happening. It's the conferences are in control.
And that's the, on the surface, it's the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference. Little below the surface, Andy, it's Fox and ESPN that are running this. If it weren't for Fox, the Pac-12 would still exist. Okay. Amen.
Yes.
If it weren't for the Southeast Conference or ESPN, Oklahoma and Texas would still be in the Big 12, and the Big 12 wouldn't be where they are now, a second-rate conference. All right. Let's go to our friend Tim in Port Matilda. Tim says, all right, I know I'm, in quotes, famous for my long questions. Tim, you are. That is your thing. So Tim says, I'm going to keep it short. Maybe. Chris B was on with Jim, said Penn State is going 9-3. I don't think that's good enough for the playoffs. If that's the case, I do think Penn State should consider making a change at coach. All indicators point to this as a playoff team. If Franklin can't even get into the expanded field, which is what it seems like almost is designed specifically for Penn State, that's alarming. Straight answers only, and remember Mark Richt.
Yeah, no, Tim, in the first year of expansion with the roster and talent that James Franklin has, he has to make the playoffs. Or his kitchen is hot and his seat should be evaluated a different way. I've maintained, I can understand why Penn State fans say, oh, no, he not only has to make it, they need to win a game. Home game would be an even worse type loss if they got themselves in that position, right? There's levels of it. I'm not so sure they have to win the game for his kitchen to not be hot, but if he's 9-3 and 9-3 doesn't make it and is not one of the 12 college football playoff teams, that deserves a different level of evaluation. And you know what, Tim? You're right. You know, I'm not saying you fire him just because he went 9-3 and didn't make the college football playoffs. I think it deserves evaluation on a different level, but I definitely think it would put him in a different space. How's that? Because right now he's in a pretty safe space.
He is, and I think 9-3 will keep him technically safe. However, I think he'll be losing the fan base if he doesn't make the playoffs. And I think it's interesting because Tim brings up Mark Richt, who was at Georgia, won games like James Franklin has, but they made the change and Kirby Smart took them to that next level. Yep. That's what Tim is insinuating there. But I will remind team, there are stories elsewhere like Nebraska where guys were winning 9-10 games. They let them go and they end up winning 6 games.
Yep.
So you have to replace them with somebody. Second part to this question, Andy, is
second part.
Ooh. Well, second comment on this. My takeaway is there's this. I thought, gee, they have to be one of the 12 best teams. No, they may have to be one of the best 9 or 10 teams because a spot is reserved for a group of 5 team. My guess is that team won't be among the 12 best. So you're only taking the 11 best. And a group of 5 team. There's also 2 other things. You have to take the conference champion of the 4 highest ranked conferences, the 4 highest ranked teams who won conference championships. That's probably going to come from the ACC and the Big 12. You could have a situation, let's say, for example, Utah wins the Big 12. They might be ranked 14th or 15th. That could happen, Andy.
It could.
But not only do they get into the playoffs, they get one of the top 4 seeds, which pushes everybody else down. There could be a scenario where you have to be a top 9 team to make the playoffs.
Be a top 10 team and you're in. That's not a tall ask for Penn State. That's not a stretch. That's all I'm saying.
That's what they have to do. All right, that is it for Ask Andy. We got one more segment to go. Stick around for that.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, Local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. Andy, this is one of those topics. You and I love these. We love lists. Off-season, there's all kinds of lists, you know, rankings of teams and players and coaches and positions. Well, somebody came out with their ranking of the Big Ten coaches. So this is always fun. I want to get your reaction. I'm going to run through them very quickly, and then we'll talk about where you have some issues with it. Let me fire away. From the top, number one, Ryan Day. Second, Lincoln Riley from USC, Dan Lanning from Oregon, James Franklin, number four, then Luke Fickle, Wisconsin, Matt Rhule, Nebraska, Jonathan Smith, the new Michigan State coach who came from Oregon State, then Jed Fish at Washington coming from Arizona, Sharon Moore, Michigan, he had been the interim coach, Brett Bielema at Illinois, P.J. Fleck, Minnesota, Greg Schiano, Rutgers, Mike Loxley, from Maryland, Kurt Cignetti, Indiana, David Braun, Northwestern, and Ryan Walters at Purdue. How does that list grab you, Andy?
There's some upside down in that, Jimmy. There's a little bit of Johnny come lately, you know, like, okay, so it's like a 2-year window evaluation. Is this, you know, what they've done in 2 years and that's it? I mean, I don't agree with a lot of this in terms of the numbers. And it's not at the very top, but it starts up pretty high in where I have differences and sort of issues. And, you know, I ranked them 1 through 18, and I think my list looks a lot different than that list for the reason of, you know, there is a value proposition to a 1 or 2 season streak. I completely agree with that, but I'm not going to hang my hat on that. You know, I'm not going to hang my hat on a 1-hit wonder. I need a little bit more. So I will rank them according to that. And especially I'll take a longevity over a short termer if I see similar things that strike me as potential, you know, equals. I'll take the experience and the long term over the short term. So my list looks a lot different.
Well, what's the biggest issue you had with this list?
The biggest issue is I think Lincoln Riley has some longevity to him at Oklahoma, but I just think him at number, what was he, number two?
Honestly, yes.
Yeah, I don't know how you can do that when his team nearly fell off a cliff last year, and it would have fallen further if he didn't have the best quarterback and the number one pick in the NFL draft and the Heisman Trophy winner from the year before as his quarterback. There's at least two, and I could make a strong argument for three games, that Caleb Williams won on his own merit for USC last year, and they were a massively mediocre team, and he did really good making a little chicken salad in his first year because he had a really good quarterback, and then it just plummeted. And I'm like, there were in and out years at Oklahoma when it was really good, so I just think it needed, I didn't think you could do that in the first year and say, okay, you can take a step back. This was not a step back. That team was barely competitive except for Caleb Williams in at least 2 to 3 of its victories that were clearly one player centered. I think they have some structural issues that they have to work through, and talent doesn't fix everything. Coaching still matters. So I didn't have him at number two. I don't have a problem with Dan Lanning to a degree, but look, I had Ryan Day first. I you just can't help it, but this is it. Now or never. This is it. You can't. They've lost to Michigan. They go to the playoffs. They win a ton of games. Okay, but they don't really win anything. Right? That's Ohio State in the last 3 to 4 years under Ryan Day. They win a lot of games, but they don't really win anything of substance. They lose to Michigan. They're not playing for Big Ten championships. They get in the college football playoffs. They come close. They don't win games. They almost beat Georgia 2 years ago. We know the field goal. I know, Jimmy. I get it. He's still my number one. I put James at second because I think him and Dan Lanning is a much shorter window into it. But for all the success he's had at Oregon, big games, Jimmy, big games, Dan Lanning and Oregon. It's still not a hurdle cleared, right? Lost to Washington twice. You know, didn't win the Pac-12 title last year. Washington won it, had a second chance of them. I could argue they had equal, maybe even a better lineup. So I see similarities in a shorter window between Dan Lanning and James Franklin, sort of that, you know, next level, big game. What do you win? So I put James second, Dan Lanning third, and then I had Lincoln Riley fourth.
Interesting. How about further down the line? Is there anyone that you look at that should have been higher among those as you work your way down the list?
Yeah. I don't know. Does PJ Fleck piss people off or make them they just don't like him or something? I don't get it. I had him sixth on my list. That guy can flat out coach. And it's not just because he's at Minnesota. It's partly because he's at Minnesota and, you know, what he's dealing, you know, what he has to start with at Minnesota. But to have him down at 12th, I mean, I don't know. They are coming off a losing season. I get that. Here's the Johnny come lately part. But that's their first losing season at Minnesota under him since 2017. Now, I realize they were in the JV half of the Big Ten when it was two divisions. But, I mean, he's 50-34 at Minnesota with an 11-2 record in 2019. What about that screams number 12 on an 18-coach roster with a whole bunch of new jacks in there that are, you know, either – been a head coach for a couple years. He's way too low on a 12 with what he's done there. And I mean, I go back to the bigger thing is he's won 50 games at Minnesota and he's only lost 34. He's 80-56 overall as an FBS coach, Western Michigan, Minnesota. Not exactly football hotbeds. I thought I had him much higher.
I agree with you, Andy, and I think one of the tough things in ranking coaches is Ryan Day gets ranked first everywhere almost by default. My question is, if Ryan Day and Greg Schiano were both assistant coaches at Ohio State, if Schiano had gotten the Ohio State job and Ryan Day had gotten the Rutgers job,
right, different.
How would they be perceived?
Right, yeah. I had Greg Schiano eighth. I had him in the top 10, Jimmy. I think he's a really good football coach. And despite, I mean, their record doesn't say they've made great strides year to year, but if you watch them play football games, and they're sending guys to the NFL, by the way, so their talent development's really good. They have started, he took over something in shambles, but they are making big strides that aren't always showing up in the records. In their record, but that you can see competitive-wise and game in and game out, they're starting to close gaps. And he's also – he's a horse for the course coach as well. Rutgers is the perfect job for him. And he's starting to be right on the edge of being able to taste some winning success where what he's been putting in place is going to start translating to wins. I don't think it's all this year, but I think in 2 or 3 years, Rutgers could be a little bit more of a problem than they have been the past 2 or 3 years.
Well, they've been a pain in the butt to play over the last couple of years.
Correct.
He won 7 games last year, so he had a winning record. Yep. Prior to him getting there, the 4 years prior to him getting there, they won a total over 4 years of 9 wins.
Yep.
So I think that in these coaching things, it gets undervalued taking a Rutgers, for example. And by the way, they played in the varsity side, the varsity division. Another one I'll bring up is they have, if you're going to have recency bias, I think David Braun at Northwestern winning 8 games last year with a team that was predicted to win 1 game.
Yeah, I had him. Now, I moved some guys up. I had him 14th on my list. I think he was lower, a little bit lower on the other list. But I had him 14th only because that was a ridiculous coaching job in the circumstances, but it also was a one-hit wonder. Right. He doesn't have to win 8 games per se this year because that was, I think, incredible. And I don't know if it's repeatable, but are they competitive at a sustainable level? That is always a difficulty at Northwestern, but in a one-hit wonder look, I'm going to tell you right now, Jimmy, I had him ahead of Sharon Moore from Michigan. I had him 16th. He's a newbie. First-year coach. Okay. Stepped in and oversaw Harbaugh's team for 4 games last year. I don't care. He's a new Jack.
I'm with you on that. I think that was Michigan getting the vote, not Sharon Moore.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask you in the last minute, Luke Fickell versus Matt Rhule. It seems like they put him in the same place. They're like the same expectations from Wisconsin and Nebraska. Do you have a preference between the two?
Matt Rhule was 7th. Luke Fickell was 9th on my list. I picked Matt Rhule because in a Wisconsin hasn't taken a step forward under Luke Fickell yet, right? Matt Rhule has already proven he's taken 2 programs step forward. This is the second one for Luke Fickell. Matt Rhule's working, it seems, faster and better on step 3. We'll see how 2024 plays out. But right now, at what they do, and they're both really good at it, Matt Rhule's better than Luke Fickell right now in my eyes.
Okay, I think the headline from all this, Sandy, is that you had James Franklin finishing 2nd only to Ryan Day. Now, if only he could beat Ryan Day, then we'll see what happens. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.